welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Most of you are probably aware that Healthmark, you know, we sell a lot of various brushes, and many of them are reusable. So when it comes to reusable brushes, I believe there's a lot to think about when it comes to the care and handling of them. Obviously, IFUs, especially complete ones, will go a long way in providing guidance on how to care for your brushes. But I thought we should explore some of these details because we go and we see different departments and there's a lot of variability in practice in the real world. So to help me out with this topic, I have none other than Stephen Kovach, or as Sharon would say, Stephen Kovach. So, Stephen, welcome back to the show. It's been a little while, so yeah, it's going to be good to get into this one with you.
Hey, Kevin, I think we should have recorded our talking before we got here, but I'm going to start off this way, and I am not picking on anybody who does audits, but our educational team has gone into departments within a week or two where departments just says, oh, we just passed so-and-so came through, and we walk in Deacon Tam, and we see this brush holding chart or whatever it is, and brush is bent and dirty, and like, you know, I hate to say it, bile burn stuck between the brushes, like people got something stuck between their teeth, and some of them are even wet, and you're going, these are reusable brushes. What the heck is, didn't the surveyor come in and look at, or maybe they didn't hang any up and they hit them in the drawer or something. But I'm going, that would definitely make me wonder what's going on. And with that, I've even asked some departments, do they have a policy on brushes? And they go, no, we just have on cleaning and it says use a brush or whatever. So there's not even statements in their policy on reusable brushes. You know, Kevin, it's interesting, right? What we see.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I laugh because I remember seeing several of your presentations, and in there you have pictures of, I think Sharon calls it the brush tree, and it's just brushes just kind of all like bent and angled out of this holder, literally looked like a tree, and they're just all gnarly looking. And yet there's the supply of brushes that are clearly being reused. I don't know, to the point, that they were actually following the IFU. It certainly didn't look like it, but even just recently I had visited a department and they were actually going above and beyond and sterilizing their brushes, which I don't commonly see. And I was kind of excited to see that, honestly. But one of the brushes, you know, the bristles are supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be white, at least at this particular brush, but they were clear as day, yellow as can be, the entire thing. And I was just thinking to myself, like, something isn't right here. You know, like the other brushes that are on the sterilizer cart are white, and this one is yellow, like, let's get rid of it, you know?
Yeah,
it took everything within me to not just pull it off the cart and discard it. You know, I'm not going to do that. But clearly there's a lot of work and, you know, things that could be improved upon in terms of the care and handling of these brushes.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we see sometimes. They'll go through a washer decontaminator and they'll come through, and then they'll just throw them in a bin and they're wet. And, you know, even the AMI standard, which is, again, a guideline, and you're supposed to use that with critical thinking and use the IFU, you know, they say store clean and dry. Mm-hmm. Well, they might have been clean, but if they're going to be wet and go back into that decontam area, they should go into a dry bin and they should be dry, you know. And we know some IFUs don't give good descriptions and some do, but, you know, some will just say the word decontaminate and, you know, what that means to me and you could be different, you know. So what do you think we suggest to people who are using reusable brushes, Kevin? What do you think their basic policy might be or some wording or whatever to get to better practice?
Well, that's a great question, Stephen. And I'll definitely give a little bit of a preamble, as you like to say, because part of what you mentioned, even in the beginning, how we were talking about this, we had a little bit of a discussion about it. And you were trying to lead me to an understanding of what decontaminate means when it comes to these brushes and how it could include the drying after, you know, the cleaning process of these brushes. But clearly it was like pulling teeth to try and get it out of me to say that, because in my mind, I wasn't thinking drying as being a part of the decontamination process. And so I think part of what we need to do, whether it's a manufacturer in our IFUs or whether it's in our department policy and procedures, is look at those ANSI/AAMI guidelines, think about the things that we've learned in other arenas like the endoscopes and how drying is so important to limiting the growth of biofilms and things like that. You brought up a great point about, hey, maybe we have this awesome process where we manually clean and decontaminate our brush. We even put it in the automated washer. It goes through a, you know, a short dry cycle, but it could still potentially be damp at the end of that cycle. Mm-hmm. And maybe we need an extra step in there to either give it more time to dry or put it in a drying cabinet or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then make sure that once it comes back to decontam, it actually gets stored in a dry location, which is pretty hard to do in decontam. You have to be intentional about it, right? So,
but you brought a good point up that the use of a drying cabinet, we're seeing them in more departments. They were popular a long time ago. And I think that is a way, because we are aware of moisture in that. And if you are going to put a reusable brush, that there are some brushes, we have them, the LTA line of brushes, many of them can be sterilized, but you know, they're not in a wrap situation. They can come out moist. You need to make sure they're dry when you put something away and put them in a dry bin. And just going through the automated washing cycle, having a drying cabinet and laying them there and getting them dry and putting them up is very, I think, very wise. And again, it's people are not understanding what terms mean and how they're going to use that brush, because even within the IFU, it says make sure it's clean. But if the shaft is all bent up, you wouldn't reuse it, even go through it. You'd throw it away. And I wonder then if some of this is played into, I'm not picking on supply management or purchasing. You know, we're all watching our budget, but if that shaft is all bent, you can't use it properly. And so will that increase using more brushes? And then, you know, you get flagged in that account. You've been a manager of a department and you got to stay within a budget. And how come you're over budget? And all those things come into play, right, Kevin?
I mean, certainly do. Yes.
You know, why'd you spend more money on brushes or that category? Well, they're bent, or we're using them right, or we can't it's like a hamster in a circle, you know, running around in a circle. You do it right, but you got to use more, then it costs more. So let me use a reusable brush, but if I don't store it right, and you know, what does your policy say? What are you going to do? And what are you going to teach your staff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up some great points there. Even with a reusable, yes, you could still, if you're if you're correctly monitoring your brushing process and your ordering process, and this is kind of where I'm going, I think what we're all kind of guilty of is assuming that the brush care and handling and ordering is getting done properly.
Sure.
And what I would suggest is that really we need to audit this process internally. I mean, I don't mean us, but this is something that we incidentally happen to see when we're visiting departments. But go back there and audit the process, whether it's the ordering, whether it's the utilization and decontamination of your brushes and how they're being reused. You brought up the bending and things like that. Well, the bristles oftentimes are pretty gnarly looking too. And we need to realize that even though a brush is reusable, there's a limiting factor there, you know, and that is, are they damaged? And these things all can be damaged over time and be subject to wear and tear, just like anything else, and reach that end of life. And we need to be able to recognize that end of life, get them out of service. And yes, that's going to, especially if you're taking care and auditing this process, it will lead to some increase in cost and budget and all of that. And, you know, unfortunately, I was one of those managers who definitely pushed the limitations of my budget on a very regular basis.
Well, we got to live within certain things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is also interesting as we talk to other professionals in the medical device reprocessing world, you know, whether it's in Canada or US or in Europe, they say, oh, we're following our standards. Well, here in the US, AMI ANSI ST 79 in section 741 says worn brushes should be discarded. So we know when we go into departments, we could probably discard 50% of the brushes we see because they are worn. So why is the staff reusing them? Why is it, if it's budgetary, then like you say, if you do an internal audit, then it needs to be increased because you want to clean it properly. Because we live in Metro Detroit area. I will not name the hospital, but just 2 weeks ago, there was an article in our paper about dirty items being found in surgery with tissue and bile burden being left on it. Well, it should have never got that far from the assembly part, but sure, that means they didn't brush and clean it properly to get it all off.
Correct.
Well, if they were using, as you say, a gnarly brush or worn brush, it might, now we don't know if it was in serrations or where it was, but there was tissue and bile burden left that shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And that means they didn't clean it right. They didn't use the right brush or whatever. So you don't want to be in the headlines. The headlines named the facility. And if I'm going there, I'm going to have second things as a patient. Do I got clean instruments? What's going on here? Right.
Yeah.
So that gets back to the brushes and the staff. Or am I blowing it too much out of proportion, Kevin?
Well, no, I mean, I think that's it's definitely a possibility. If you're not using the correct cleaning implements or damaged cleaning implements, especially in those hidden areas that you can't see, like lumens and crevices and things like that, if you're using a damaged brush, then there is a chance that you could leave something behind. And then, you know, it's like all those holes in the Swiss cheese lining up is how they say, right? And, you know, if you don't have the correct inspection tools on the prep and pack side, then now you missed something in the cleaning area and decontam. Now you missed it in prep and pack because you don't have the proper inspection tools, or maybe you're not giving your staff enough time to properly inspect, one of the two, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets through to sterilization and off to the OR, which is what we want to avoid. But, you know, just back to that proper care and handling of your cleaning implements and your brushes and things like that, answering those questions throughout your policy, really thinking about each step in the care and handling process of your brushes, from the ordering to how you're going to reuse them, how you're going to define a use, and then, you know, have your staff implement the cleaning and decontam procedure of the brushes, and then how do you go back to storing them and all of that? So do we have a drying procedure for them? is it enough when they go through the automated washer? Do they come out dry enough? If not, then what? You know, and mm-hmm. then how do we get them back to our storage and decontam so that they're considered to be in tip-top condition before they're used again? That's kind of what I wanted to address with this is, what are you going to do? You need to audit that process your facility. Make sure that, you know, the AIMI guidelines are your backdrop, the IFUs are your backdrop, and then find out, are you following those processes correctly? And if not, you got to address it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've given our listeners ways to look at the process, and you brought up one other part, and I hope I'm not going off on a tangent here as we get to our sort of time limit. But departments are now defining the use. Some people are saying one tray or one case cart that comes in and then they throw the brushes out, or they send them with the instruments and they get washed and reused. Or some people say per shift unless they get worn, or per day, or again, at the end of the shift, we can clean them, put them in automatic washer, make sure they're dry, and then reinspect them. And those that can be used again. And those that can't can be thrown out. But the departments are defining the use. And if they can be reused, they need to define it, like you said, and follow through and audit properly. You know, there's a lot of different touch points or audit points that they need to do, but reusable brushes does allow a department to save money. And if they do it properly, not increase any issues with that brush being reused again and again on other devices. But they've got to have something in place, because you've said at the beginning, we've been in departments that there are brushes, even though they're defined as reusable, they should not be reused. So that means they should audit their process and make sure they do it correctly, you know?
Exactly, Steve. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I wanted to bring awareness to with this podcast. So I appreciate you again coming on. I hope, you know, the listeners got something out of it. Please go back, check your process. Make sure that you're in compliance with IFUs, industry standards, and that the staff are actually following your procedure, or that you even have a procedure in writing and in place, right? We don't always have that, and we should. And I'm telling you, from our experience, more often than not, it's not getting done the way you think it should or it ought to be done. So get back there into your department. Check out what's really happening.
I just thought of something, Kevin.
Sure.
And this is, you know, I drink the Kool-Aid. Everybody knows that. And got to take stuff with a grain of salt. But back in the day, we used to have a company in Metro Detroit that used to do our suture inventory. Mm. And people say, don't let the fox in the hen house. But they were sort of independent, but they monitored our suture and made sure we had the right ones. And they came in once or twice a week and did that. And we did reduce cost, and they helped us say we had too much of this and took care of it. You know, HealthMark is one. We do help people with their inventory and can help them cross-reference and do different things when it comes to their brushes. So my point is, work with your brush manufacturer to see if maybe they can help you decrease the amount you have, or help your staff understand through in-servicing and help you write a policy or do some of those things. But you have to get a strong partnership with people you trust and know they have your interest in it as well. I just wanted to throw that in there, Kevin, as you were winding up. It reminded me of, I used somebody to help me control my suture inventory, and it worked out very well. Maybe you need to partner with your brush manufacturer closer to help with that process. That's all. So,
oh, that's a great point. Thanks, Steve, for throwing that in there. And I think it's a great one to end on. Thanks again for helping me discuss brushes with the audience.
And let's see if we can keep those gnarly ones off the wall chart. Okay. If we can decrease that, we've done a good job. Okay,
yeah. Get rid of those gnarly brushes.
Get rid of those gnarly brushes. That's what this podcast is, helping you get rid of those gnarly brushes. So you take care, Kevin. Have a good one. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Steve.
We'll see you. Bye.
That wraps up our episode for today. As a recap, Stephen Kovac and I talked about reusable brushes. The reusable brushes are great because they can save some money and be an economical way of decontaminating soiled instruments. The problem is, we see a lot of gnarly brushes out in the field, brushes that are bent, broken, even soiled with biofilms and other debris. Just like any piece of equipment, we need to have a policy and procedure regarding reusable brushes. How and when do we clean them? How do we store them? When do we determine that they need to be discarded? Then you have to ensure to look at your process. Are the techs using them correctly and following your policy? It can be a lot of work initially, but it's worth it because cleaning instruments with properly functioning brushes is much more safe and efficient than using those gnarly brushes we see. So get rid of those things. I hope you have a better understanding on how to manage your reusable brushes. Please feel free to reach out with any questions that you may have. Email us at asktheeducator@hmark.com. Thanks for listening. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.